It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Victor Hovland shoots a course record 61 with a 28 on the back nine at the BMW Championship to win the second leg of the PGA Tour's FedEx Cup playoffs at Olympia Fields in Chicago. He made 7 birdies on the back nine with a course record 61 that just beat Max Homa's course record from earlier in the week by a stroke. Victor Hovland ends up winning with a 17 under par score. He earns $3.6 million. He beat Matt Fitzpatrick and Scottie Scheffler by 2 shots. Rory McIlroy finished 4th. Brian Harman and Max Homa tied for 5th. On the amateur side of golf, Nick Dunlap joined one other person in winning the junior amateur and just won the 123rd U.S. Amateur after defeating Neil Shipley 4-3 to become just the second player to win both the Junior Am and the Amateur. Tiger Woods also did that. He did it in a span of 6 consecutive years, however. Tiger Woods winning the Junior Am in 1991, 92, and 93, and then he won the Amateur in 94, 95, and 96. Nick Dunlap plays his collegiate golf at the University of Alabama, and some of his teammates flew out to Denver and made it to Cherry Hills, the site of the 123rd U.S. Amateur, to watch their teammate capture that trophy. With the win, Nick Dunlap receives custody of the Havemeyer Trophy for 1 year, as well as a 10-year exemption into the U.S. Amateur as long as he stays an amateur, a gold medal in entry into the 2024 U.S. Open at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club, the 2024 Open Championship at Royal Troon, and a likely invitation into the 2024 Masters Tournament. Runner-up Neil Shipley, he receives a silver medal, a 3-year U.S. Amateur exemption, and he's also exempt into the 2024 U.S. Open and will likely receive an invitation to the 2024 Masters. I want to thank Matthew Allen and Blair Allen, Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group. They know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, go to their website, bphotels.com. Find a property that is where you need to be. Book that. You will enjoy your stay at a Beachwood Hotel property. We're back with Summer Rochelle, our guest on this week's episode of From the Short Grass. Stay with us.
I'm Thomas Blackman with Blackman Auctions. I've heard it said that sometimes there are 2 best days with real estate ownership. It's the day you buy it and the day you sell it. Depending on where you are in your journey, let me help. If you're looking for that outdoor getaway or that home in the city, I can help. If you're looking at selling that outdoor property you haven't seen in 3 years, I can help. Or selling that home in the city that you've outgrown, I can help. Blackman Auctions is your one-stop real estate company. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
With all the decisions you need to make about what to do in El Dorado, finding a place to stay is an easy one. The Haywood is uniquely positioned to make your stay one to treasure. Located in the historic Union Square District of El Dorado, the Haywood offers luxurious accommodations that feature contemporary, colorful rooms with high-quality bedding, comfortable baths with walk-in showers, and a spacious workspace with stylish plantation shutters that are unique additions to the stunning decor in a non-smoking environment. Make the Haywood your home away from home the next time you visit El Dorado.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schapp. Dr. Brad Teague, University of Central Arkansas's Director of Athletics, announced on June the 16th that Summer Rochelle had been tabbed to be the next head golf coach at UCA. Rochelle was a standout junior golfer from Conway, played for the Wampus Cats, helped them win their first ever 7A state championship. She then went to the University of Arkansas, where she was on the golf team there, played for 4 years on the Symetra Tour, then became an assistant professional at the Blessings Golf Club before becoming an assistant golf coach at the University of Central Florida. On the tee, Summer Rochelle. Summer Rochelle, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. I guess I should say Coach Rochelle now.
Coach Rochelle.
How about that? Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm super excited. It's a really cool opportunity to come back home and be able to lead Central Arkansas and really start to elevate the program here.
The opportunity to come back home, born in Conway, grew up in Conway, decided to go off to the University of Arkansas, but let's first go back. When did you first pick up a golf club?
When I think back, it was probably when I was about 5 or 6 years old. Martha McAllister used to work with my dad, and they were having a clinic out at the first tee, and basically told my dad, like, you know, at that point in time, you're just letting your kids try all the sports and see what they like, and told me to try golf, and I just picked it up and absolutely loved it. You know, neither one of my parents played golf or had any background in that, so it was really new for them. They didn't really know that what they were putting me into or anything like that, and so Martha was kind of really the driving force behind that, and then we just kind of went from there.
So your parents not playing the game, but yet they supported you with everything, right?
Absolutely. I mean, they're my biggest support system. They took me out to the golf course anytime that I said, hey, I want to go hit balls or I want to go play. I think for me, they was never pushed on me to play golf. It was, hey, I was a soccer player. I played basketball. I played golf. And, you know, I played at a high level at all of them. And at some point it was like, hey, you'll just have to decide which one you want to do. But they completely left that up to me. They took me all around the country, all around the state to play. And so pretty much everything I've done golf wise is really a credit to them and them allowing me and putting me in the positions to be able to do that.
Summer, when did you decide that golf is going to be the sport? Because I know you love soccer. I know you love basketball. I know you love all sports. But when did you decide that golf was going to be it?
Yeah, I think it was probably when I was about 12 or 13. That was, for me, that was kind of when I first got a taste of the ASGA, playing with the older girls, seeing myself compete against bigger and better competition. And I think once I kind of dipped my foot into that, I saw that that could be really something special. And I think from there, you know, continuing to play all the sports just kept me in team sports, which is what I would see later on, but it really helped me develop in a lot of other ways. But I think probably around that 13, 14, you know, your age, is that's kind of where I was like, hey, golf is really my passion and what I want to do, and just kind of see how far I can take that if I really put a lot into it.
When I think of girls' high school golf, the programs that I think are up there at the top, Cabot, Conway, Fayetteville, and every now and then Jonesboro, is that pretty much it?
Yeah, I mean, I know for us it was we always felt like we were competing against Fayetteville. Always had 4 or 5 deep. You know, the Levy family that I grew up with, Olivia, and they had 4 or 5 of them coming through. It was just one year after another, and I think for us in Conway, we always looked at Fayetteville as, hey, that was the team that we have to go out and beat. Happy to say that we finally got it done my senior year, but that was a really special moment that I'll always remember, you know, in my golf career, is just bringing Conway their first state championship in golf, and kind of what that meant to not only me, but all the girls around us on the team, and girls that didn't go play college golf anywhere, that, you know, them playing golf was high school golf. And to kind of have that special bond between all of us and something that brings us all back together. It's actually 10 years now that since that happened. So I think they're trying to get something together for all of us for the 10 years of you know, bringing a state championship back.
What do you remember about that tournament and winning that championship, the first ever?
Doing it at Colleen Country Club. First off, our home course. Doing it in front of our parents and our friends and our fans. I just remember that whole year having a group that was just really excited to play golf and really excited, really enjoyed every time that we got to go out there and play as a team, but also worked extremely hard. Everyone knew that, hey, we were getting to host a state championship. This is kind of our time to do it. We've practiced here. We've played here. And I truly think that the girls that week had their best week that they had probably their entire high school career. And I think it's all those little moments that just kind of came together at the right time and right place. But one of the like vivid memories is just everybody sitting on the top of the hill coming down 18. You know, my final hole is in high school, our team's final hole, and just kind of that image of everyone up there supporting us and then being able to bring it home.
When you decided to pick a college, was it hard to pick one, or did you know right away that you were going to be a Razorback?
I mean, Razorback's in my blood. I knew that I was going to be a Razorback. I looked at other places. Everything for me was always compared to the standard that, the Arkansas program had, and I looked other places. I did. I went to on a few visits, but staying home as a Razorback, going and helping build something special there, you know, start a run of a bunch of incredible teams. And I love Mike and Shauna to death and just their vision for the program and how much they supported me. There's just nothing like staying home and doing it. So for me, it was a pretty easy decision. I think I made that decision really early, too. I was a sophomore in high school when I committed to Arkansas. I loved every single minute of it. I mean, these kids now are getting 5-6 years of eligibility. I'm like, I got to find another one in there somewhere. But yeah, amazing 4 years.
What do Mike and Shauna mean to Summer?
I owe a lot of my golf career. I owe a lot of who I am as a person and even as a coach now to what they taught me. The standard and level that they expected of me every day, it was high, but it helped me demand my best. Shauna's someone that I talk to every couple weeks, every week, really, not just about golf or coaching, but just about life. And, you know, they really just showed me what it would take to be not only a great golfer, but a great person and a great coach. So I think everything that I learned with them really is what I look to do in my program now. Things that, you know, worked really well that had such a big impact on me. If I can be half of the coach that those two are, to my team, then I'll be doing something right.
Obviously, after college, you wanted to turn pro. The LPGA is the highest. I mean, it's the standard. Everybody wants to get to that point. You dabbled around as a professional golfer for a while, and then you decided that, okay, you'll go and you'll help teach at the Blessings. Take me through that decision to turn pro, how it went, and then what led you to the Blessings to help teach.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting because if you look back on the last couple years of my college career, people would probably say that I really struggled, and I did. You know, I wasn't at the top of my game, but I think I always had this desire to do more with my career and see if I could go out there and play professionally. And I think that, you know, when I look back at those times and those moments, like, I wouldn't change anything because it was really tough. I learned a lot about just carry yourself as a professional, what it means to be a professional. I got to travel all over the world making amazing connections that I still talk to this day and still have an impact on me. So it was just, it for me, it wasn't a tough decision, even though I feel like I was in a tough place. I think the tougher decision was leaving it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just something that you've dedicated your life to and you've spent so many hours to be at a high level. You've made so many sacrifices, you know, missing birthdays and, you know, trips and all of that in pursuit of your dream. And then I never made it to the LPGA, but I don't feel like I fell short, because my dream was always to play professionally, and I did that. And it might not have been in the LPGA, but I played on the Symetra, now the Epson Tour. I got to travel the world and do it, and that's something that not a lot of people can say. I was actually on a walk with my friend Christina LaCour yesterday, and 3 years ago when I was, you know, kind of in that deciding to get out of playing and get into teaching or get into coaching, we had a walk, and I told her, I said, this is funny, because yesterday we went on a walk for the first time in 3 years, and looking back on that versus where I am now, I was kind of in a place where I didn't know what I was doing next. I didn't know what I was doing career-wise. Was it going to be in golf? Was it not going to be in golf? But I knew that I had a passion for coaching and teaching and really helping kids achieve their dreams, just like everybody else helped me achieve mine. It was just about knocking down the door that was already there, mm-hmm. And not like just waiting for it to open for me. Yeah, it just kind of brings you back to this moment of, hey, 3 years ago, I was in a place where I didn't really know what I was going to do next. And then to sit here and now be a head coach at a Division I program, looking to make regionals for the first time, is just something that all those moments just added up. And it's just a culmination of all of that to where I am now.
When you decided to, I'm not going to say hang up the clubs, because you still get to play as a professional, put that career behind you and focus on teaching and now coaching, the Blessings is not a bad place to go teach.
Oh, I mean, the Blessings was amazing. Like, I'll always have, you know, Mr. Tyson and Richard and Justin to thank for giving me that opportunity, because I learned so much just about expectations and doing things the right way and making sure, you know, valuing the way the presentation and the way things look, but also being able to teach a five-year-old the basics of a golf swing and then teach a kid that is going to play college at a Division I program and everything in between. And if anything, it taught me you just have to meet people where they are and help them develop and help them learn from that spot that they're at to get where they want to go. So you take that into college and you're doing kind of the same thing, where you're getting kids that have never been to the U.S. before. You're getting kids that maybe not speak a lot of English. You get kids that are all Americans and kids that are trying to make the lineup for the first time. And being able to watch them grow and teach them in a way that everybody needs something different, but still being able to get to that end goal that they want.
After you taught at the Blessings, then you really got into coaching and teaching. You were an assistant at UCF. How did that come about?
Eric Wood, he was kind of a mentor to me. He was an assistant athletic director at Arkansas when I was there. He used to be an assistant AD at UCF. When I would go down there in the off seasons, I would always go meet with him, talk to him. He introduced me to Emily Marin, who was the head coach. We kind of just developed a relationship of, you know, from being down there and practicing. I loved Orlando, spent a lot of time down there. I knew that the timing, you know, every June, July, that's kind of when the coaching carousel starts for college golf. And around that time, I would just like, I'm just going to take a look. I'm just going to see kind of what opportunities are out there. I knew that that's something that I wanted to get into. And you got to just kind of get your foot in the door in college golf. Emily had a spot open. Her assistant of 9 years left to take a head coaching job. So everything just kind of really aligned, where we already kind of knew each other. I kind of knew the area, the program, and, you know, she really took a shot on me. I had no coaching experience besides giving lessons at Blessings and just being surrounded by really good coaches. So for her to give me, just as a young coach, an opportunity to come and learn from her, who had been coaching for 23 years. She wanted to see me develop into a great coach, and she really just took me under her wing and gave me a lot of responsibilities that kind of accelerated the process of where I am now. But, you know, I'll forever be grateful for that, because you look at every coach that's in the industry, there's somebody that gave them a shot and mm-hmm. was the first one. And so, you know, my story will always have her in it, in that she gave me my first chance, and we have a great relationship. We still talk. I actually talked to her a couple of days ago. So, you know, she was really influential too in helping me get this job now. So I owe a lot to her as well.
You're now the head coach at the University of Central Arkansas, back home. It's kind of come full circle, if you will. Why UCA?
You know, there's not a lot of head coaching opportunities throughout the country. Division One, Division Two, you know, all of them combined. There's not many opportunities that you get to go back to your hometown. And I think that there's something special about doing it in your hometown, doing it with people that you grew up with, that you have the support, that you have the connections within the community for a number of different reasons. To be able to come and do that, and, you know, I mean, I grew up 2 minutes from UCA's campus. And I think building a program that community and my support system and everyone who supports women's golf, not only in Conway, but in Central Arkansas, can be really proud of. And, you know, that's my whole goal with this, is create a really great program that brings in top players throughout the country, throughout the world, that can feel that Conway's home and have that same pride that I do about being able to come back and represent such a great university and do something really special.
Obviously, it was probably hard to keep it quiet to the parents when you were interviewing with Dr. Teague and some of the others, I'm sure. But what was their reaction when you told them, hey, I'm coming home, I've got the job?
Me and my parents are really close, so I was kind of talking to them all throughout the process. Like, I really value their, you know, their opinion and their feedback on major, you know, things in my life, and this is such a major life moment for me. But man, they're so excited. They're just literally so excited to have me back in Conway. You know, they don't have to get on a 2 or 3 hour flight anymore, or a 15 hour car ride. You know, just right here in town. And but they were so excited, you know, from the day that I started this journey with golf. They've been there. They've known my hopes, my dreams. They've done everything that they could to help me reach that. And, you know, they ultimately knew that my goal going into coaching last year was to be a head coach within 3 years. And so then to get it at once, I think I think they were a little bit surprised and, like, you know, not really expecting that, but couldn't think of a better place to do it than right here in Conway.
What's the forecast for this season for the Bears?
Yeah, so we have 6 international players and 2 players from the U.S. We have one from right here in Arkansas, Madison Holmes from Paragold. We got 2 junior college transfers from Seminole State down in Florida, who has a great program down there. So fully expect them to come in with experience of competing in, you know, championships and at a high level, and really make the impact of the team. But we really have a good core group that's coming back, and I'm super excited to see what they can do. I think we have a great schedule. We actually were able to get in the UCF Challenge, which is, you know, a premier event in college golf. So not only will that help us to see the level, you know, the top level of teams and you know, kind of see where we're at, but it'll also help us just, you know, in the grand scheme of rankings and being able to kind of make that next step that we need to take. But I'm super excited about the team. I think they have a ton of potential. I think that they're all super motivated and ready to do something special. And like I said, this team hasn't made regionals. They've had individuals make regionals, but they haven't made it as a team, and I think everyone's really motivated by that to kind of be the first ones to do that and, you know, to lead them. And just every day we're just trying to get a little bit better and kind of keep that end goal in mind of what we're trying to do. But I fully expect them to come out and play well.
You also have another former Wampus Cat on your staff.
I do. Man, talk about another full circle moment, you know, coming back here to coach, but also bringing Mary Michael on board. As soon as I got the job, she was the first one that I had in mind to call. And I knew that she had gotten out of coaching a few years ago, and I knew that she had started a family. But I would be kicking myself if I didn't call and just and ask. And, you know, I laid out my vision of kind of what I had for the program and what I wanted to do. And she was so excited and immediately was like, I'm on board. So she has so much experience. She's got so much background in golf at a really high level, both playing and coaching. For me, being a first-time head coach, to have that experience there with me, just walking alongside of me in the journey. And she's just a great person. At the end of the day, the team's going to absolutely, you know, love being around her. And I think she's just going to be able to bring a lot to the team in such a positive way that, you know, I think the environment we can create is just going to immediately elevate what we're doing on the field.
Obviously, recruiting, that's a big part of a coach and what they have to do, their responsibilities. How do you sell Conway to the recruits that you want to bring in to be a Bear?
Me growing up and living here helps the parents be comfortable too. But this is a place where you can come and you can just immerse yourself in golf. You know, you can come, and we have a lot of golf courses that we have access to. We have a great building to practice at throughout the year. And then, you know, our campus is beautiful. You just walk around. It's friendly to walk. Dorms are close. All the little things that people look for, we can check the box off. And I think getting kids here. As soon as they get them here and they see the campus, they see what we have, then I think that they'll be really pleased at what they can get out of there. And also, too, us as coaches, just being able to develop kids and help them reach that next level. It's all about relationships, and I think it's all about recruiting and relationships, and getting kids in here that really want to make a difference. That really want to take the program to the next level. And just growing up here, it's such a special place for me. And I think you got to have that when you're trying to sell a program.
Favorite golf course you've ever played?
Olympia Fields.
Yes.
Absolutely love that place.
Why?
Not only is it a great course and just like, in my mind, like such an iconic course, but I think when I think back to like so many core memories of golf, one of like, my biggest memories from golf comes from playing at Olympia Fields, comes from playing the U.S. Junior Girls, making it to the quarterfinals. So I think that helps when you have a place like that that's super, you know, special and means a lot in my golf career. But just something about like being in Chicago, playing a course like that, it fits my game so well. It's just... Oh man, I can still, I haven't been there in years, and I can probably still remember the holes if we went through them. But yeah, I would say Olympia Fields, definitely one of my favorite courses I've ever played.
All right, Summer, last question for you. Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, three other golfers that you would like to play a round of golf with.
Ooh, Suzanne Pedersen.
The Swede.
Yes, the Swede. Probably Annika.
Another Swede.
And then I'll go Rory McIlroy.
Okay.
And you. Wait, do I get one more? Or do I get three?
You get three because you're in it.
Okay, there we go.
How about that?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Thank you.
At UCA.
Thank you. I'm super excited. Go Bears.
This is Thomas Blackman of Blackman Auctions. Looks like this podcast has really taken off. The guests are incredible. Stories are captivating. It might be Trey's hard work and dedication to the sport of golf and his sincere interest in his guests. Or could be the support of an 85-year-old auction company that does real estate and industrial auctions all over the country and is owned by a guy that doesn't play golf worth a flip. You guys listen to the podcast. I think you know the answer. If you want to learn about the game of golf, listen to Trey. If you want to know about auctions, call me. Since 1938, Better Auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
That will do it for this edition of From the Shortgrass. Hey, remember, Blackman Auctions, a great sponsor of From the Shortgrass. Since 1938, Better Auctions have been Blackman Auctions. Go to their website, blackmanauctions.com, to find out more information about some of their upcoming auctions. I want to thank new UCA women's golf coach Summer Rochelle for taking time out of her busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. Remember to hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. It is so hot out there on the golf course right now. When you do get out and play and you find your ball marker walk on the green, make sure you fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you from the short grass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.